And I really did get free. I will still once in a while let my kids have it, but it's not the same. There's no demon behind it. It's not driving me. I don't feel terrible afterwards. I just know, okay, I shouldn't have said it quite that way or whatever. There's a big difference between not getting human anger and then not sinning with it. Okay? You're going to have some anger. Sometimes that anger might cause you to speak quickly or whatever. And then that takes a fruit of the Spirit to learn to control that. That takes maturing and growing. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what that takes. But this thing is when those things happen and you keep making excuses for them or you keep giving into it. And now all of a sudden that iniquity has become your personal sin. That iniquity has come in, taken over, and as much as you want to put your pretty little mask on when you go out in the world, your family knows. They don't respect your Christianity, folks. If you got this thing and you're ranting, raving mad, and they got demons in them to make sure that they push it and get it going, they're not respecting your Christianity. They're not respecting your walk because they think you're a hypocrite because you show one thing to everybody in church or at school or at your job, but behind the scenes you're someone else. But you don't have to be. And there's no condemnation in Christ. We have a society full of contention. We have a society full of iniquity. That's what it just read. If you read any of the scriptures on iniquity, nothing is more blatant and clear and straight out than that in James. Okay, so it says, this is not the wisdom coming down from above. It's earthly, beastly, devilish. Where jealousies and contentions are, there is confusion in every foul deed. Okay? So behind this is jealousies and contention. And we were talking about contention is this iniquity of your mouth. Contention is this thing we were talking about. It's a violent tendency to deal with to use words. Words were given to us to create. God created with his words and he blesses with his words. And that's his will. His will is that words are used for blessing and to create and to uplift and edify. But the enemy, he perverts everything. With him, words are to tear down. Words are to curse. Words are to hurt and to condemn. And that's contention. And where these things are, there's going to be confusion and every foul deed. So know this. If you probably, before you murder somebody and break the power of anybody in here doing that, you probably curse somebody out and kill them with your mouth first. And so we need to really see. We need to really see that what we want to do is we want to get rid of contention. We want to get rid of this iniquity of our mouth that leads to every foul deed. We want to absolutely understand that we don't want these foul deeds. We don't need these foul deeds. They're not who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. That's not who I am. When your mouth goes off and has a life of its own, you can at least start recognizing that's not me. Because I believe what God says. My mouth is for blessing, not cursing. That is not me. Now, God, whatever thing in me has got a part of me doing this thing, I want it out. I want to be set free. I want to be delivered. I want to be totally free. That is not me. There's no condemnation if you can hold on. That's not you. But if you think it's you, you're going to be full of shame and condemnation, and the devil's going to make you think, well, what kind of Christian am I? I must not really be a Christian. No. You're a Christian if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died for your sins. Okay? That makes you a Christian. And he lives inside of you. That you're going through the process of sanctification and being cleansed and delivered and set free. That's a working of the cross that because Christ is inside of you. That you're sitting here hearing this and wanting to be free and recognizing it shows you are a Christian. If you get up, slam down something, I don't need it, blah, 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 and walk out the door, then you're still just a worker of iniquity and you really don't care about getting free. And that's, we'll just pray for you. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no condemnation. How can you have condemnation when about everyone raised their hand but one or two people? But if you walk away when God's trying to deal with you, it's the worst thing you can do. Because God has a time for everything. God has a season for everything. God wants to get a hold of people's attention. And there's not a person in this place, except for a few people, that didn't raise their hand to say they have an issue here. And we need to face our issues. Or our issues are going to face us. You'll come back and face them eventually. But gosh, you could save yourself so much trouble, heartache, and headache, and crisis if you would face them when the Holy Spirit brings them up instead of waiting until the devil uses them to try to destroy you. But that's personal choice. All right. Keep going. From where do wars and fightings among you come? Is it not from this your lusts warring against your members? You desire, you do not have. You murder, you're jealous. You're not able to obtain, you fight, you war. You do not have because you do not ask. Now this is amazing. This is all to Christians. So things haven't changed much. You ask, you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order that you may spend it on your lust. You adulterers, do you not know that friendship of the world is hostility towards God? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is put down as hostile to God. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says the spirit which has dwelt in us yearns to envy? The Bible says, but he gives greater grace. Because of this, he says, God sets himself against the proud ones. Pride, remember, means independent from God. I don't need God to help me here. I don't need God to fix this. I'm okay. It doesn't matter what I do. That's pride. And God turns away from that. But he says, Okay, but he gives grace to the humble. So what we're here tonight is God saying, are you humble? If you raised your hand, you were humble. You're saying, yes, God, this is something I've either dealt with and now I want to help other people get free, or this is something I'm dealing with and I want to get free. And in that humility, God's going to give you grace. But if you're proud and like, I don't need this, I don't know what they're talking about, I'm tired of this, who does she think she is? Ha, ha, ha. If I don't make you mad at some point on a Tuesday night, then you're probably at the wrong place. Because every devil in you ought to get kind of ticked when somebody's going to stand up and tell you you need to change and make you face that you need to change. But at least around here, we've gotten to a place to embrace it and say, thank God, now something's going to change. I want to put away the mask. I want to quit playing games. I want the things that God has for me. I want to be like Christ. And there's no condemnation. There's no judging. There really is a true freedom and a liberty to let the enemy know, I'm not ashamed of what you've done because I found Christ. I've separated from that shame. It's not me who did those things. Devil, you used me to do those things. You used me to hurt people. You used me to hurt my own children. You used me to hurt my spouse or to hurt people I loved. You used me. And I'm not putting up with it anymore. I'm not hiding your junk anymore. I'm not taking this shame anymore. I'm exposing you to light. And you know what? You're getting out. You are getting out. Because there's no condemnation in Christ. And people don't hate me when they find out like you told me they would. People don't turn from me. People don't throw me out like you said they would. You're such a liar. And you lied to all of us. It's kind of like when everybody comes together and exposes darkness, Satan loses his power to make you feel isolated and alone and the worst person in the room. Praise God. Satan's the worst one in the room. It goes on, be subject to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Now, this is kind of like what we were saying about holding his hand. When you resist him, he's got to leave. You're not waiting for him to let go of you. God is waiting for you to submit to God, submit to truth, to submit to his power, and he's waiting for you to recognize that you've got to resist the enemy. You've got to say no. You've got to expose him. You've got to say this is a lie, and then the devil has to run from you. You don't have to run from the devil. He's got to run from you, but you've got to quit being in agreement with him. So he goes on, he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded ones. That's a problem, the double-mindedness. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to shame. Be humble before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, that shame there is people who go around partying, having a great time, thinking everything's great, and they live with this iniquity that we've been talking about, these jealousies and this envy, but they act like, hey, party, hoo-hoo, we'll all go to hell together. Yeah, whoa, baby. It said, you better turn that stuff into some shame. Do you see what I'm saying? This gang mentality. Man, yeah, I'm tough. You know, I beat that. Blah, 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 blah. God said, you better turn that into shame. You need to be ashamed of what you're agreeing with the devil about. But there's no shame when you quit agreeing with the devil. Do you get that? Because, well, Lord, they just said to turn to shame. Yeah, if you're laughing about your sin and you haven't brought it to the cross, you need to experience some shame. You need to get away from the coping mechanism that says this is okay and deal with how horrible it is. And then when you let go of it, there's no shame, because then you give it to Christ and there's no condemnation in Christ. All right. It goes on. Be humble before the Lord and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brothers. He that speaks against a brother judges a brother. He speaks against the law. He judges the law. That makes him lawless. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. One is the lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you who judges another? Well, we could get into that. I've got that preached somewhere else. Come now, though, saying today or tomorrow we will go into the city. We will spend 1 year there. We will trade. We'll make a profit. You bunch of people boasting. Who do not know, you don't know about tomorrow. What is your life? For it's a mist which for a little while appears, then disappears. Instead, you should be saying, if the Lord wills, even we will live, and we will do this or that. But now your boast is presumption, and all boasting of this sort is evil. Therefore, to anyone knowing to do good and not doing it, it is sin to him. Okay, we're not going to keep going. This is powerful. Keep going. We do have a teaching on this. What this is talking about is then you take your mouth and you judge others. You start looking at what they're doing wrong and how they're doing it wrong. And your coping mechanism begins to see how much you think you're better than somebody else. Well, I might yell at my kids and threaten them once in a while, but I don't cuss like they do. Well, I never went off crazy screaming and yelling like he does. So that justifies my sin. I should be able to scream and yell at him a little bit if you could see just how he cusses and all. It says, quit judging. Quit touching somebody else. Leave that to God and deal with you. Deal with you. All right? So that's one powerful place that where there's iniquity. In your heart, in what you speak. And if you're cursing and you're doing these things, in your heart, there's probably bitterness, there's jealousy, there's envy, there's a lot of pain and hurt bottled up in there. Now, we've dealt with a lot of this, and a lot of people say, man, I used to be like that, but God has set me free. And now I just really have to break the power of this iniquity of cursing. I have to get this devil, this foul spirit that likes to talk through my mouth out, because he came in because of these other things. I've got rid of the other things, and now he has to go. Do you know what I'm saying? So some of you just need to let God sanctify your mouth tonight. Your heart's already been dealt with. But you never got rid of the spirit that came in to take ownership verbally over this bitterness and envy that was inside your heart. Okay? If you continue to have a problem with the iniquity with your tongue, you need to go back and really look at the areas of bitterness and envy. All right, we have a lot of teaching tapes on that. Other people in your group can help you figure out which tapes you need. Get a hold of that. You really need the teaching on bitterness to get free. You really need the teaching on envy to really get free. And then your mouth will begin to line up with a heart condition that's been changed. All right? So that's one area of iniquity. A lot of you have already gotten set free there, and you're like, well, I really know I don't need that anymore, but that used to be me, and I raised my hand because it used to be me. I'm not going to go over more of this. Let me tell you, for that group, if you know you're going to be in that group, write these scriptures down. These are scriptures about iniquity of your mouth. Okay, I haven't read all these. I just got them out of the Strong's. Psalms 107:42. Job 5:16. Job 6:30. Job 15:5. There's a lot of iniquity in Job's tongue. And it's not always cursing. A lot of times it's complaining and griping and grumbling and talking about the character of God. Psalms 36:3. All right, let's look at this one. Look at Psalms 37:1. The Psalms talk a whole lot about this. Okay. Do not inflame yourself with evil doers. Do not be envious against workers of perversity. He's saying there's some people in iniquity, you still boast. You still think it's cool people who are perverted. You still think it's cool people who are tough or... You know what I'm saying? It's like you've got your eyes on what seemed like manhood or what seemed, you know, cool when you were a sinner. And then when you got saved, you never changed your thinking about what truly makes a man or what truly makes a person in the sight of God. And so you're still drawn with iniquity to things that should make you feel sick, you know, should make you not want to be a part of it. And so that's something some of you need to look into. And if you have that spirit in you, you talk more about your past when you were a bad boy or you were a bad girl. You talk more about it like there's no real repentance or remorse, but there's still something in you that thinks that that was cool. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I had that for a while about some things about my dad, you know, where he was, you know, tough and all this. And then God started dealing with me this year, like, why would you want to set that up as an example? Do you want your sons to have any kind of violence? Do you want this kind of thing? And I realized as a little kid, and I love my dad, I still love my dad, and he's changed a lot, but I idolized him because he was my dad, and you're supposed to look up to your dad. So I saw those things that really were disgusting to God, and I saw them as something that was okay. All right? So if you're having issues with that, then that iniquity that's being passed on from things you've seen because you're supposed to look up to your parents, and yet there may be things in their life that the world thinks is cool or tough or bad, but truthfully are an abomination to the Lord. And so you need to deal with that. You need to help get free from that. This iniquity teaching is going to take some time. I can just tell you that, okay? So let me just mark the ones we did. We're going to break up into some groups. Let me go ahead and set these groups up.